It is now time for the health of it. And we say a very, very good evening to Trudy Griffith. Good evening to you, Trudy.
Good evening, Ken. Good evening, Barbada.
Ah, you are on. And now we go across and say hi to Kirk Trotman. Kirk.
Hey, good evening.
Ma, how are you, man? How was your day?
It was restful.
Okay. Never mind. You make it. And a good friend of mine and colleague, young Jason Bell. Jason, how do you do?
Every day above ground is a good day.
I agree with you. We applaud to that. So we hand it right over to Sister Trudy. Trudy, take it, please.
Good evening, Barbados. So last week, we would have had a conversation with our diabetes ambassador, Melissa Goodman, who has been diagnosed with diabetes about 7 years ago. And there's something that she mentioned last week that I want to expand on tonight. So I'm going to begin with a quote. And the quote is, it's the unspoken support of knowing somebody else is going through the same thing. One of the things that we hear far too often is that persons, when they're diagnosed with diabetes, feel as though they're in it on their own, that there's nobody else, there's no one else who will understand, there's no one who can relate to what they're going through. And I want to dispel that myth. There are persons who understand, there are persons who are either going through the same challenges that you're going through, or they've been through those challenges before, and they have gotten through them. So therefore, I want persons to appreciate that. We don't want you out there on your own thinking, what am I going to do next? I want you to contact the Diabetes Association of Barbados, and we can offer assistance for you. And one of the ways we do that is that we have regions and support groups across Barbados. Did you know that, Ken?
That's right. We have groups out there. Lots and lots of people are in Barbados are suffering from diabetes, and they're past.
I don't want to use the word suffer, Ken.
Oh, good.
I don't want to use the word suffer.
I think the correct term would be living with diabetes.
Living with diabetes. Okay, living with diabetes and doing so quite well, managing quite well. It's a matter to my mind, and I don't have diabetes, but it's a matter to my mind of managing it, and it's also a matter of passing on your techniques, if you like, to your partners. Those are the people who are suffering, who, I beg your pardon, are living with it. You know, so they too can be inspired, because a lot of times we think that we are the only person suffering or bearing or whatever verb you want to use with a matter. You know what I mean? So that's from my end.
Yeah. So we have 9 regions across Barbados, and I'm going to go through them so that persons can appreciate that we have tried to touch almost every parish. So we have the Northern region. We have West Central, the Glebe that covers the entire parish of St. George, the Southern region, the Western region, Central, Eastern, Northeastern, and St. John. I think that covers about 9 fingers, right, Ken?
St. John is all by itself out there.
St. John. We didn't get very creative, and we called it the St. John region.
That's perfectly fine.
So we meet at various venues across the island. So we either meet at a polyclinic or a community center or a church or even a school. And for those persons who can't get to those meetings, we also offer a support group which meets at the Diabetes Association of Barbados, which is located at Beckles Road, St. Michael.
Jessamine Court,
the corner of Jessamine Avenue and Beckles Road, St. Michael.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So could you please walk us through what a typical peer support group may look like? So, you know, if I'm a type 2 diabetes sufferer, I mean, person living with type 2 diabetes or type 1 diabetes, what should I expect when I attend one of these meetings?
Right. So, the thing about it, understand that that we accept persons who are members of the association who have diabetes as well as those who don't, right? So you may have persons who are joining the association because they're concerned about their health, they want to do things better, whatever. At the end of the day, we accept everybody. There is no one that we will refuse. So in terms of, we have, I've actually asked a guest to be on tonight who is actually the facilitator of the latest group that we have established in Barbados. So what we do is that persons, when you come together, you introduce yourself, you give some background of your journey with diabetes, and therefore from month to month, as we try to meet on a monthly basis, there are different topics that will be presented all relating to diabetes or something that is for common knowledge.
Nice. So do they all follow a similar pattern in terms of, for lack of a better term, the syllabus? Or do they all
There's no syllabus. There's no syllabus. When we...
Like I said, for lack of a better term.
In our journey with diabetes, we have to address where people are at. So right. There are some persons that when they've been diagnosed with diabetes, they don't understand what it is. What is diabetes? What is happening to my body? There are some persons that will say, okay, what do I eat now? So therefore, that person is more concerned about what they're eating than what diabetes is at that stage. There are some persons who will say, what type of shoes should I wear?
Right.
So therefore, you start where the person is at. But okay. We try to capture all of the concerns and questions that you may have.
We got that right. And we also have Dr. Laura Royal with us. You'd like to greet her, please.
Hi, good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Laura.
Here, Dr. Laura.
Thanks for joining us.
Hi, I'm good, thanks.
Awesome.
So Jason was just asking a question in terms of, do we have a curriculum or a syllabus that we follow when it comes to our support groups in our regions? And I was saying to him that we don't. We address the needs that persons present to us, and we move from there. So Laura, can you please share from one of the meetings that we've had recently in terms of some of the concerns that persons might have raised and how we've addressed them within the group?
Okay, so the support group that I am part of is actually the type 1 diabetes support group. The issues change depending upon what's happening. So sometimes it could be something as simple as you're not getting your medication on time, and that's frustrating for persons. It might be families not accepting your diagnosis of diabetes. And sometimes it really helps finding people with the same problems that you do have, because then you're able to say, well, I'm not doing this alone. There are other people that have that. And there's always somebody in the support group who has gone through the same things you have and has actually done and succeeded at these tasks that you have, that you are currently going through. So you're always able to learn from somebody else. And it's always better to learn from your peers than from a doctor. A doctor can be telling you the same thing all the time, and it doesn't make sense. So when you hear it from somebody else who's going through it with you, then it makes all the sense in your world.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Laura. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead, Jason. You're on.
I was just about to say, I haven't heard Kurt for the last 10 minutes or so. Kurt, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. So can you give me some of your thoughts about how the peer group works and your experience with the peer group.
Okay, well, I like a bit of attended a few peer groups. And what I've found is that just echoing Tree and Dr. Laurie, they're all unique. There's no syllabus like you had mentioned. You meet each person where they're at. And for me, one of the hardest hit or most concerns for me personally is denial of the diagnosis. Because a person in denial, where do you start? You know, how do you start to help them through confidence, help them to, you know, accept the fact that this is my life going forward. So that in particular started for me with these peer support groups. again, just like any group, and Laura did mention it, where sometimes the doctor might say to you X, Y, Z, but it only resonates with you when, you know, someone you believe of your own status, someone you see as ordinary or on the same level as you, say the same X, Y, Z, it resonates more with you. So that is really the importance of the peer support group throughout the regions and through the organization.
I find that social media is a huge tool for good and in some cases for mischief when it comes to a lot of issues. We've been encountering a lot of that with this latest crisis, this public health crisis. Dr. Laura, you could probably speak to this more than anybody else because you probably have dispelled many, many, many myths over the last few weeks especially.
Yeah,
how does
definitely.
The peer group leverage the power of social media in order to educate both accurately about the condition and how they can best manage things?
Right. So we use mainly we use the tool of WhatsApp. We have a group, and using that, persons are able to ask any questions they have. So let's say you see a poll somebody sent you that some herb or some pill is good at treating whatever. You're able to then vent that because, I mean, there's always some flavor of the month. Oh, this cures that. Well, this is used for that. And I've seen people take that advice. They would take that advice from their neighbor and not from the doctor and run with it and then end up in the hospital or worse. So if you have that support group, you're able to say, well, let me just fact check this against somebody else. And within the group, well, there's me. So there's somebody there to say, okay, this is true, this is not true, and therefore verify the information. And you're not judged for it. Nobody's going to say, well, why would you be crazy and believe that? Or you don't have to wait until your next doctor appointment. So you're able to just ask those questions straight away and get that information straight out.
That's a crucial point you just alluded to. The fact that there's no judgment in these peer groups is something that would lend that reassurance that people aren't going to be made fun of because they thought something that was incorrect. Because oftentimes, the impression, and I'm not saying this is about anybody in particular, certainly I'm not saying this about you guys as experts in the industry of health or in the industry of wellness, but there seems to be this level of, for lack of a bad term, how dare you think that? That's so stupid. You are so silly. Why would you think that? So therefore, people run to their folks who figure that they will not judge them, often get inaccurate or sometimes dangerous information and bring harm to themselves. So I'm really relieved, really glad to hear that the social support groups, the peer groups that you guys have set up, is a no-judgment atmosphere. Trudy, just speak to us a little bit more about that, please.
Right. So I wanted to follow on from what we're seeing. In terms of COVID-19 has really forced us into a position that none of us have ever lived through before.
Absolutely.
And therefore, persons who might have been averse to talking on the phone or even sending a message or email to their doctor are now forced to do that because you can't just simply walk into a doctor's office anymore. Your doctor might probably say, call me first, let me know what's going on with you and see if I can help you remotely because we are really trying to avoid persons having that face-to-face contact. We're really trying to enforce the social distancing. So now you have to become really ill at describing what is going on with you because someone has to help you remotely. So I want persons to appreciate if you have, you ought to have sufficient supplies of your insulin. You ought to have sufficient supplies of anything related to managing your diabetes. You need to have your diabetes planning so that you prevent your blood sugar falling too low or your blood sugar rising too high. We want persons to have all of that information to hand because right now, you're not just free to move about as we were before.
It really does call upon the health providers as well to ask those crucial questions that can tease out the answers. It used to amuse me or amaze me. I'm not sure which one is more applicable. That folks would go to a doctor, and then when the doctor asks them, so how are you? Oh, I'm good. What do you mean? You know, use your words. Use your details. Descriptions, use all the adjectives, use all that is really vital to allowing your healthcare provider or even a peer group to more accurately, how should I say it, diagnose, is that the correct word, or to help guide the discussion and help guide the solution along. Can you please tell us a little bit more? I know we are working on a glossary, Trudy, and that will be an ongoing project over the next 2 weeks.
We are definitely going to be working on a glossary because we recognize that while we may come to a common understanding on air about what these terms may mean, we want to follow up and have available on all of our platforms a definition of these terms so that when we use them, we're all on the same page.
Right. So I think we have an understanding of peer support group. Is that the correct term for today?
Peer support. We have peer support groups, which have been around for quite some time. So when I mentioned the regions across Barbados, those were established all the way from the 1970s to the
80s. Wow.
So they have been around quite some time, maybe just as old as you, Jason.
Right. I'm a child of the 80s myself. And so you're saying that this group was long before, I see April 30th, 1975 is when the association was launched in some form or other.
Yes.
That's 45 years ago, this month.
That's correct. This month, 45 years ago, we were ramping up to have our first meeting of the Diabetes Association of Barbados. Can you imagine that?
I was just going to tease Ken asking where he was 45 years ago, but I was not. Anyway, yes, so 45 years ago is when things got started. So, I mean, my goodness, the changes that you've seen last 5 years, far less the last 45 in terms of that
diabetes
management,
that is
diagnosis,
correct.
And all the rest of it is huge.
Definitely. So, therefore, we want to continue on the work that was started in 1975 and continue to expand to meet the needs of persons who are living with diabetes and those who are not, so that you don't start that journey yourself. And we also want to offer assistance to persons who are caring for persons living with diabetes, or you have a family member, etc., who lives in your household or who may not even live in your household, to assist you, provide you with information, support, whatever you need. We're going to try to do that for you. But you need to reach out to us and let us know what your needs are. Because if I presume, I may not get it all right.
Kurt, Trudy, could you please tell us the numbers by which we can reach the Diabetes Association of Barbados? You've already given the address. You said that, you know, if you're still able to move around, we would advise people to do that at this exact time. I think the office is closed, right, Trudy?
The office is closed, and therefore that extends to our regions. Our regions are not meeting because of the recommendations that have been given by the government of Barbados regarding mass gatherings. But certainly once the all clear is given, and we think it is safe to proceed, we will resume having meetings of our regions and our support groups.
So how can we get in touch? Kurt?
Well, yeah, so currently we would be using the number, which would be office's telephone number, and that is 230.
230?
2975.
2975, so 230-2975. And that doesn't give me instant access to the groups, obviously. I mean, if I'm struggling, it may be best for me to call or WhatsApp that number right away, right?
That is correct. So you can call that number because there's someone who's manning that line. And we also have WhatsApp available on that number as well.
So 230-2975, people.
230-2975. So if you don't have access,
we can drill it in the head, but you're saying it's 4 hours over.
So if you don't have access to email, if you don't have access, well, we will not have access to our landlines in the office until such time as the all clear is given. So therefore, you can still reach us on the mobile number until such time.
And email, just in case those who feel more comfortable with email.
Okay, team. I want to ask a very basic question here.
All right, Ken. Welcome
up. Your conduct, please. A very basic question. I suppose Dr. Laura would want to answer this question. I suspect that diabetes can creep on you very subtly. How would you know the signs? What are the signs?
Okay, so sometimes, as you quite correctly said, you have no symptoms or signs. However, you can have increased thirst. You find that you're thirsty all the time, craving water, craving any sort of liquid. You're passing water more frequently. If you realize you've lost weight and it wasn't on purpose, if you also realize that your vision is blurry or you get very hungry very easily and you're eating more than usual, those are usually the key signs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm finding that there are lots of younger persons now, and when I say young, I mean like secondary school, with type 2 diabetes, something that was unheard of 5-10 years ago. And sometimes they have no symptoms. Sometimes they have more symptoms than some older person. So if you do have a family member with diabetes, or you're overweight, you're over 40, or you have high blood pressure, you should still get screened.
Great, great. Thank you so much, Dr. Laura. How can they get contact?
Is there a type 3? There's only type 1 and 2.
Oh, that's a good question.
There is a type 1. There's a type 1.5. There's a type 2. There's a type 3.
There's
but we don't... Does it change the management? Not so much. Type 3 is very rare. It's not part of our normal working. It's mainly type 1 and type 2, as well as gestational diabetes that we will focus on, which is the one associated with pregnancy.
Did you say so gestation?
Gestational.
And so Jason, are you with us, please?
I'm listening carefully, sir. I'm listening with rapt attention and I have no idea what you're going to say next, Ken.
Oh no, I've abjured my decision to speak.
I think that's a good thing. I wanted to ask Dr. Oh, there, you threw me off my game, man. No, I wanted to ask the question of the good doctor, what is type 1.5?
Right. So we realize that there's this group of adults who have diabetes diagnosed typically after the age for type 1 or juvenile diabetes, but it behaves quite like type 1. So they require insulin much earlier. They just behave exactly like how we would if you had type 1. So
right.
We realized that had a similar thing in terms of how it happens in the first place to type 1 diabetes. So that's why you have is the in-between type 1.5. But does it change the management?
Rare.
Not as rare as you think, but it's just that we don't diagnose it. So it's very underdiagnosed. But does it change the treatment? No. Does it change
right.
your goals? No. Same quality of life that you can achieve if you have 1, 2. There's no bad type. Whatever you have, there's no bad type.
One common method by which we conduct broadcasting, and I defer to Ken on this since he's so much more experienced than I am, is we compare past and present and future. That's a useful device when it comes to comparing a topic. As we look back from 45 years ago, truly, as we come on to the end of the program today, this time for flies along, man.
No. It's only 9 o'clock. We started at 25 minutes, too.
Okay, so we have 5 minutes.
So I am not going to steal your time, Jason.
Well,
I'm going to give
sir.
You back your 5 minutes, and 4 into 5 is like 1.5. So each of you have 1.5.
1.5. That number comes back again, doctor. That number comes right back again. Just for that. Thank you so much.
Each of you have 1.5 minutes, and Trudy, I'm telling
yep.
I'm instructing Jason for you and the world to hear, Jason.
Yes, sir.
And next week we will promise Trudy that she will have her promo done, and she will have and she will have a theme. Okay,
yes,
she'll have a theme song. Okay,
yes, sir.
Good boy.
Wow.
Now go ahead go ahead and take your 1.5.
Trudy, we need to talk about this off area.
Yes, we do.
Wow. Okay, so I will defer in a second, and you won't hear my voice for the rest of the show. But you're listening to VOB 92.9 for the health of it in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. We have the president, Trudy Griffiths. We have the PRO, Kurt Trotman. And we have our special guest, Dr. Oh, gosh, I just got up from my desk.
Laura.
I'm walking and talking at home. I definitely engage in behaviors I wouldn't normally do in studio. But, yes, with just a couple of seconds left, I just wanted to say thanks once again. And just let us know the email address, the contact information for DAB You've got the cell phone number there, 230-2975. But how can they reach us via email? How can they reach you all, rather, via email?
Okay, so our website is www.diabetes.bb. It is as simple as that. Or you can just go and Google us, Diabetes Association of Barbados. You will get to our website.
Excellent.
You can email us at bab40 and then the letter A at gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, and you can also find us on Instagram. So therefore, there are many ways that you can get in touch with us, and we are actually inviting you to contact us. We are looking out to hearing from you, to seeing your emails, your messages, etc. We want to know what's going on out there so that we can support you in your journey with diabetes.
And you don't have to be alone. That's very important.
You do not have to be alone.
Speaking of messages, guys, are there any messages on the WhatsApp this afternoon?
No, not so far, please.
Okay, fair enough.
They're waiting for lyrical interpretations.
Right to you. Kurt, do you have any final words for us as we come to the end today?
Well, it would be amiss of me not to mention the support group of the parents for Camp Wellness and the summer camps that we have. They do have a very active WhatsApp group, and I see they share a lot of information there in terms of the progress of the children. They do share in terms of fruits, where you get some reasonable fruits, veg, you know, stuff like that, especially in this thing. I saw especially a message where someone is delivering fruits and veg. So that is another very good peer support group that is going on. Because, yes, living with diabetes, we need that support. But what about the persons that have to take care of the diabetic or the family around that diabetic? They, too, need that support.
I understand there are two camps as we come on to the end of the program. And thank you so much. I understand there are two camps, Camp Pride and Camp Wellness. Please give us a little breakdown between the two.
So we have Camp Pride, which was first hosted in 2002. And we have come up with the acronym for PRIDE to mean Positive Reinforced Innovative Diabetes Education.
Beautiful.
It is primarily for children who are living with type 1 diabetes. Even though we do have some children in our midst who are also living with type 2 diabetes.
Right.
But we've come to recognize as well that obesity is a challenge for our nation. And therefore, what we decided to do 3 years ago is to design a camp called Camp Wellness, which is primarily for children between the ages of 4 and 16, so that they can come and learn healthy lifestyle habits so that they do not start that journey with a chronic, non-communicable disease.
Excellent, excellent. And we're looking forward, hopefully, with the passage of this particular pandemic to reconvene those camps this summer. Is that right?
Oh, well, I can't say for sure.
Okay.
We have been planning the camp for quite some time.
Right.
And if we wanted to have the camp next week, we possibly could, except that we can't. So I don't know what is going to happen. We still have to wait and see what is going to happen with school, what is going to happen with workplaces, what's going to happen with CSC exams and your promotional exams. So therefore, we cannot plan definitively at this stage to say that camps will come off, but certainly that is our desire to run our camps this year as we've been planning.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears and from our mouth to the ears of our kind listeners, you've been listening to For the Health of It, in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. The last voice you heard before mine was the president of the Diabetes Association of Barbados, Ms. Trudy Griffith, also on this wonderful segment call, were the esteemed Kurt Trotman. He is the public relations officer and our excellent guest and resource. Thank you so much for coming through, Dr. Laura Worrell. Looking forward to hearing from you all again next week. And Ken, you can lead us out.
Well, Well, thank you so very, very much. The next big show on Voice of Barbados will be Lyrical Interpretations. And, of course, Trudy and Jason will be a big part of that program. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Good night, Barbados.
Goodbye. Good night.